The government of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel may have failed so far in its campaign of atrocities in Gaza, but it fights on valiantly in its Hasbara war. This is Israel's other war, the Hasbara, and it is relenting. Australian politics and media have been swallowed up by the anti-Semitism crisis. It reached a crescendo this week with the National Cabinet, a special National Cabinet to address the anti-Semitism crisis. This is a war of foreign interference waged in Australia by Israel lobby groups. It's waged by groups who are subsidised charities in Australia. So it is that we may never hear about the genocide in West Papua to our north, waged by the Indonesian military against the tribespeople of West Papua. So it is that we don't hear much about the domestic violence crisis, which continues to claim the lives of hundreds of women. We hear every day about hurt feelings and about terrorism. Now, they say that the first casualty of war is truth. But the whole point of this war of Hasbara is a war on truth. The word itself means explanation in Hebrew, but it has a broader meaning. And the broader definition is a communications strategy which seeks to explain actions, whether they are justified or not. This is PR, public relations, at its most brutal. And so it is that we have our anti-Semitism crisis. Its greatest weapon is the threat of being branded anti-Semitic. That's a charge that can destroy your career, your reputation, your life. And so it is that the soldiers of Israel's Hasbara war in Australia, led by the platoons of publicly subsidised Zionist lobby groups, have blown out of all proportion this anti-Semitism crisis for their own political ends, for the benefit, in fact, of a foreign nation, a foreign regime engaged in unprecedented war crimes. Now, not one single person that we can identify, please put it in the comments if you can find one, has been physically injured in these evil, so-called evil anti-Semitism attacks. Not one hair on one person's head has even been slightly ruffled. Few perpetrators so far have been identified for these acts of graffiti, yet we are told daily that the laws of this nation must change. The peaceful protests against genocide must be quashed. Free speech must be quashed. We're told that a special national cabinet of the nation's federal government must be convened urgently, not to deal with racism in general, which is a much broader, larger problem, not to deal with Islamophobia or hatred against Muslims, just for anti-Semitism alone. Now, we now hear that spray paint, even, is an act of terrorism. There's been a pivot. Spray paint, graffiti, is now terrorism, apparently. Now, the battle tactics of Hasbara are clear. They are to demonise Muslims and Arabs, particularly Palestinians, to demonise those who support peace, to demonise as terrorist supporters those who dare to call for restraint from Israel or to criticise the government of Israel. Now, this horribly racist post by the AJA, the Australian Jewish Association, says blatantly, we, that's Israel, not Australia, have been blackmailed, a criminal offence, into a ceasefire deal with none other than the devil. Its greatest weapon, Hasbara's greatest weapon, is the corporate media, who's sucked in by this stuff or runs it for political agendas of their own. Cowed into obeisance after decades of bullying the mainstream media. And this from the Rupert Murdoch flagship in Australia, The Australian. Yes, the publicly subsidised dominant media operation in Australia had this to say last week. Here it is. Here it is, the mainstream media equating all Gazans with animals and terrorists, not just Hamas, the 13% Palestinian Christians in Gaza as well, not just Hamas. Imagine the outcry, imagine the rage by this agent of foreign interference if somebody called all Jews in Australia animals and terrorists, or all Jews in Israel animals and terrorists. Imagine the outcry if an Arab-subsidised charity in Australia posted pictures of Jews with horns and claim the devil has our babies. Andrew Lee, you are the Assistant Minister for Competition, Charities and Treasury. You report to Treasurer Jim Chalmers. You have an open and shut case of racial hatred in your registered charities sector. You oversee the ACNC, the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission. The rules of the Charities Commission clearly stipulate that charities cannot engage in political lobbying. They cannot represent the interests of political parties, barracking for one over another. Yet this charity, the AJA, does it daily, openly, savagely hammering Labor, savagely hammering the Greens and the Teals, Penny Wong, the Foreign Minister, Albo, the Prime Minister, daily personal bitter attacks for not supporting Israel, a foreign government, enough. No breach could be more clear, more actionable than this breach. It is a lay-down mazare. If you are serious, Andrew Lee, about tackling social cohesion in Australia, this is an easy first step. Deregister these agents of hate and racism. Unfortunately for Australia's Jewish community, these people have jumped the branding. They purport, via their name, to speak for all Jewish Australians, and they are quoted ad infinitum in the media. For many Jewish Australians, of course, they are an embarrassment. The fact is that many Jews march in the peace protest marches. Many oppose racism and violence. Many oppose the Zionist Hasbara. Yet their voices are rarely heard in the mainstream media above the cacophony of whining, victimhood and lies coming out of these publicly subsidised charities. They don't pay tax. Now, in defence of the Zionists, and it's not much of a defence, many truly believe in what they are doing. They believe that the means justifies the end. That's what Hasbara is at its essence. They believe they're chosen. They believe they're superior to other human beings. They believe they are predestined, that their lives are more valuable than the lives of other people. This innate superiority complex is a serious problem, both for the Jewish community and for everybody else, and especially for the Palestinians. See, you see, they've been indoctrinated from birth, brainwashed to such a level of conviction that they can actually justify genocide. Not one crime committed. Babies shot through the head with machines. Somebody like on a PlayStation console, bombing, burning people to death from the air with American weaponry. A lot of people are onto the lies and the double standards, of course. It's a rising amount, and this is the problem. The sheer hypocrisy, the extreme victimhood narrative peddled by these agents of foreign interference is a massive problem for Australian domestic politics and social cohesion, which they claim they are addressing. And the way that Hasbara operatives deal with it on social media is the same as in the political arena: bullying and harassment. Constant claims of victimhood by invoking the Holocaust, when in fact they have trashed the memory of the Holocaust. Thousands of abusive posts a day on social media, across all platforms. There's a mob called Unit 8200, an Israeli online operation, which engages hundreds of paid posters, social media posters, people sitting in front of a computer screen, slagging people off on social media all day, lying, twisting the truth, bullying, threatening. We had a threat from a Hasbara operative yesterday, Twitter threat from a mob called Sharion Collective, which specializes quite blatantly, wears its heart on its sleeve, in trashing people's reputations, in scouring social media to find what they perceive to be anti-Semitic posters, anti-Semites. It specializes in deep fakes and in ruining people's reputations quite proudly, because that is Hasbara. That's what they do. Now, not one of the Hasbara charities in Australia or their hundreds of propagandists online have once criticized the government of Israel. They act as a bloc, and this is a problem. This social cohesion is the problem. All they have done is made daily justifications and excuses for the violence. They're never a call for peace. If these people who claim to be leaders of the Jewish community in Australia, the Zionist orgs that is, were to distance themselves from war crimes, distance themselves even a little bit from the bloodthirsty government of Benjamin Netanyahu, if they were to espouse peace, that would be a start. And if the government deregistered them as charities, that would be a start too, as the identities behind the spate of spray paint and burning cars remain mostly shrouded in mystery. There's been few prosecutions despite all the attention on it. AFR Commissioner, the Commissioner of the Australian Federal Police, Rhys Kershaw, came out a couple of days ago and said that there appear to be foreign parties involved financing the crimes in Australia by cryptocurrencies. Now, the AJA immediately jumped on this one and blamed Iran, which has the geographic misfortune to have located itself as a country between a whole lot of American military bases. Russia has been named too. And the speculation on social media is that it's Mossad, it's the Israelis. I mean, who knows? But jumping the gun and apportioning blame before these serious things, before the identity of the perpetrators is established and their motivations, is ridiculous scaremongering. Hasbara is a global thing. Overnight, there was a clip that emerged on social media where the host of the MSNBC network in America was forced to apologize for telling the truth. It was incredibly embarrassing. Telling the truth about Israel's land grab in Palestine, showing a few maps, they apologized. This bizarre predicament is mirrored in Australia all the time, where we have an anti-Semitism crisis. Despite the lack of solid claims and data to support it, just hurt feelings claims, a crisis which demands its own national cabinet, which demands new laws, abolishing of protests, muzzling of universities and their students, and a media which has missed the story of the century and is yet to repudiate the lies of 40 babies beheaded and mass rapes on October 7. Completely unsubstantiated. And the rage from the foreign war lobby, from this foreign war lobby in Australia, these agents of foreign interference, has reached a crescendo in recent days. When Donald Trump forced Benjamin Netanyahu into a ceasefire in Gaza, they hated that. Amid the pause and the genocide, Netanyahu has ramped up his attacks in the West Bank. Now, make no mistake, this is an American and Israeli genocide. It is US warplanes, munitions, now killing children on the West Bank, bombing refugee camps, and much more. This rage of the Israel lobby is even more palpable given the triumphant behaviour, the relief, the wave of relief which swept through Gaza upon news of the ceasefire. Netanyahu had two stated objectives in his so-called war. One was the return of the hostages, and the other was eliminating Hamas. Neither have been achieved yet, although the return of three hostages looking in remarkably good shape is the beginning of it. So Netanyahu's war is an utter failure. It has been for months, as we've reported here before, to the usual Hasbara response. What he has accomplished is trashing the reputation of his country across the world, putting the very existence of Israel at threat. The actions of his government have led to a rise in anti-Semitism around the world, yet they blame it on others. And so it is that the constant lies of Hasbara are failing, despite the craven kowtowing of politicians and media in this country and elsewhere. Yes, anti-Semitism, though majestically exaggerated, is becoming more of a thing, as we predicted here in November 2023, when the brutality of the response to October 7 was evident. Who's to blame? Well, there's a lot of factors, but you would have to say that Zionist extremists and the Hasbara movement are themselves mostly to blame for anti-Semitism. This is an epic own goal. It's worth noting the phenomenal bravery and resilience of the Palestinian resistance, the people in Gaza, who after 16 months of unrelenting attacks of torture, murder, starvation, and so on, from the high-tech killing machines of the US and Israeli militaries, the Palestinian resistance fighting from the tunnels and amid the hellish debris which is Gaza, that has made the Zionists even more angry. So what is the end here? Well, the end is not in sight while Israel and the US and the allies, including Australia, continue to destabilise the Middle East. And until politicians stand up against this fake anti-Semitism crisis. There will still be the relentless propaganda by Israel and its proxies, but this is an epic defeat. You can't really say that Hamas, with its tunnels and its homemade weaponry, have won the war. It's not a war. It's a guerrilla resistance against a bunch of extreme, old, white, racist men from Eastern Europe, race supremacists from other countries mostly, against a Semitic people, a people who are Semitic, who have occupied the land for hundreds of years. Did they embrace them, the Israelis, when they got there? No, they didn't embrace them. They didn't try because they think that they are better. But you can say with certainty that America and Israel have lost. Netanyahu was offered the return of the hostages at the outset shortly after the October 7 incursion. He preferred instead to go on a bloodthirsty revenge killing spree for 16 months. 40-odd children a day killed by the IDF because they were too gutless to go down into the tunnels and fight Hamas hand to hand. They are no match. Instead, now world famous for filming TikToks of themselves in the stolen lingerie of their victims. How shameful. Now, the reason that these lingerie posers have lost is because despite all the lies and the countless dollars mobilized, $20 billion from the US, the countless money mobilized for the Hasbara campaign, Israel's other war, its propaganda war, is that they have destroyed their own credibility and they've destroyed America's authority in the world at the same time, hence the victory of Donald Trump. Such is the terrible depth of these crimes. So as death begets death and hatred begets more hatred, there is no end in sight, unfortunately. And the manifestation of this hatred locally is upheaval in Australian politics due to a foreign conflict. It is Jewish communities too, themselves, who are also suffering from fractured relationships over ideology, from conflict in their own communities over this foreign war, and the rising perception that historical victimhood, the victimhood of the Holocaust, has been leveraged to suit the foreign objectives of Israel. Now, it should be said quite clearly that the Jews are not to blame, Jews as a people, those who follow Judaism. But the Zionists are, they more than any others, to blame for what is the rise, albeit blown out of all proportion, of anti-Semitism in Australia. Hasbara is not going away anytime soon, but the feeble media will see to that. But the government would do well to get Jewish leaders with Muslim leaders in a room together to try to sort things out, to at least try to get some kind of consensus in the way forward in Australia, to deregister charities for foreign interference and peddling political objectives, lies, and hatred. The facts are there. Look them up. Islamophobia is just as big a problem as anti-Semitism. And the clear design of these charities and the Hasbara movement is to blame Muslims for everything and, to an extent, those who would call for peace. And another very interesting tactic has been by the Hasbara movement has been to frame this conflict as a political contest. The left supports Hamas and Palestinians. The right supports Israel. And people have bought that. The media have peddled it. So it is that the effect on Australian politics of this conflict are potent. It is now an election issue. Hence Peter Dutton's support for Israel, no matter the crimes. Thanks for your support. Please like, share, and comment. Keep it nice in the section below. We'll catch you on the next video.